I'm a price here.
He
is 4:30.
What, 4:30?
Yes, 4:30. Yeah, yes, exactly.
And where's someone else going to be?
He will be here. Okay, if everyone could please try and grab their seats.
They choose their own topics.
Yes.
Is it possible? I think it would be an advantage if there was some continuity. You know, we go out and
so we've actually thought about that. That's a really great point. We may do something like that.
Maybe Jewish history.
Yeah, that's a great point. Yeah, thank you for suggesting that. Okay, we're going to try. Okay, if everyone could please try and grab their seats. We're going to try and start now. Everyone can please try and grab their seats. Just if anyone has any extra source sheets for Professor Price, we just ran out. So if you have, please raise your hand and we'll come get it from you. Oh, okay, great.
I was giving them out.
Oh, you can keep... Thank you.
It's nice to keep giving them out.
Yeah, okay. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone here? Thank you. Okay, welcome everyone to the first breakout session with Professor Nechama Price. Professor Price serves on the Judaic Studies faculty in Stern College and serves as the director of GPATS, the Graduate Program for Advanced Talmud Studies. She also serves as a Yoetzet Halacha for several communities throughout the New Jersey area. This morning, she will be speaking about unexpected models of tshuva in Tanakh, and please, just a reminder, if everyone can please silence their phones for the duration of the shiur. And without further ado, Professor Rice.
Morning, everyone. Everybody hear me? I have a cold, so my voice is a little down. Yeah? It's really amazing that all of you came out this morning. Special shout out to my students who, thank you. That is a major pleasure. And of course, my parents for always coming and for everybody else that's here. You know, it's not surprising that we just finished Rosh Hashanah and now we are coming up to Yom Kippur, that we spend a morning learning about tshuva. That's what we do this time of the year. And when you want to learn about tshuva, what are you going to do? So we start off probably with learning some of the classical sources about tshuva. So we probably look to source number one, the Psukim in Devarim. Moshe warns us, V'shavta ad Hashem Elokecha, you should return to God. Or V'hashivos al Lavecha, everybody should have a source sheet, please. You should return to your heart, you should do tshuva. These are words he repeated last week in Parshas Nitzavim and Devarim Perek Lamed. We read those words last week, which is not in your source sheet, I apologize. Ki a mitzvah this mitzvah that I've given you is not far away. It's not something you can't do. Lo b'shamayim he. It's not in the sky. Ki karoi lecha hadavar ma'o b'picha b'lvavcha la'asoto. You can do this mitzvah. It's close to you. And the Ramban very famously says, what mitzvah are we talking about? The mitzvah is the mitzvah of tshuva. So we read biblical sources about tshuva. Then we move on, and in this past week's Haftorah, we read Navi sources, right? We learn in Hosea. Hosea tells us source number two, L'chu v'neshuva l'Hashem. Or we just read, Shuva Yisrael ad Hashem Elokecha, return Jewish people to Hashem. Ki kashalta bavonecha, because you messed up. You fell to sin. So therefore, what do you need to do? Kachui machem devarim, use your words. V'shuvu al Hashem, return to God and say to God, Imru Elav, kol tisa aven v'kach tov v'nishalma parim svateinu, please forgive us, use our words, we don't have karbanos anymore, use our words, use our tshuva. All right, We learned some psukim, right? Now we say, okay, let's learn some halacha. How do I do tshuva? I'm not really sure how. So we turn to the Rambam and Hilchos Tshuva, famous word, source 3. Kol ha-mitzvah shabbat Torah ben aseh ben lo taseh. Every mitzvah, whether it's a positive command, a negative command. Im avar adam alachat meham, if I violate one of them, ben bezadom, ben b'shkagah, so it's purpose, by accident. She yasa tshuva. I gotta do tshuva. So what do? V'yashuv mechato, chayiv l'tvado, l'fnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I gotta admit, I gotta stand up and say, God, I did something wrong. I admit to my mistakes. Going on, ben zman she'im beit hamikdash kayam ve'ein lanu mizbeach kapara. We no longer have karbanos. We don't have a beis hamikdash. So what do we got? Ein sham ella tshuva. We gotta do tshuva. Fantastic. Ve'hatshuva. It's amazing. Mechaperet al kol haveros. It makes us forgiven for everything. Avilu rasha kol yamav asat tshuva b'achrona. Ein maskirin lo shem rasha. You're an evil person your whole life. And in that last moment, you do tshuva, you're not remembered for all the evil. All right, so what do I do? How do I do tshuva? Famous Rambam, Perek Bet. Ezui tshuva gemura. What's real tshuva? Zesha bali odo davar sha'avar bo. The same possibility of sinning comes up again. V'afshar b'yado lasot. And I could do it. I could do that sin. Here it is, right in front of me. The sin I did already. And here I could do it again. V'perish v'lo asab b'nei tshuva. And I decide I'm not going to repeat it. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to do tshuva. Lo miyira. I did not do it because I was scared to do it. V'lo mikishlon koach. And not because I didn't have the ability to do it. I chose not to do it because I wanted to do tshuva. Nice. I read these all the time. We're very familiar with these sources. But how do I make it real? How do I make it that I really understand tshuva? A funny example, though, not so funny, because very real. This past weekend, there's been major storms, right? North Carolina, South Carolina. And I can look at the news and read all about it, and I'm terrified. But what does every news reporter do? They have to send someone from their crew to stand in the middle of the storm, and I gotta watch them be hit with the rain and blow away, and you kind of think they're nuts. But why do they do that? Because in order to really understand something, in order to really get a grasp of something, I need an example. I need to see it. I need to understand tshuva by saying, okay, who did tshuva? Give me a real example. So Chazal gives us role models of tshuva. They do. They give us good examples. But when I look at those examples, and I hope you'll agree with me, I am in shock. These people? This is the models of tshuva? Let me show you what I mean. Source number 4, Gemara Babatra, Amar Rav Yochanan, Yishmael asa tshuva. Yishmael? Yishmael, do we know Yishmael? Yishmael did tshuva b'chayei aviv while his dad was still alive. Sh'ne'emar v'ikberu ato Yitzchak v'Yishmael b'na. He went and buried his father. He did tshuva. Second example, number 5, Midrash Agada. V'tchila misha chazar b'tshuva, who was the first person to be chozer b'tshuva? Haya Reuven. Reuven. V'yomer v'yashav Reuven al abor. He returned to the pit. Al tikre v'yashav elishasa tshuva. Doesn't mean he returned to the pit. It means he did tshuva. Reuven did tshuva. Bracious Rabba tells us, Vayeshev Reuven al abor, Heichan Haya, where was he? Eliezer, Rav Yeshua say, Rav Elezer says, B'sakko b'tayito, he was in sackcloth, he was fasting, he was doing tshuva. Shmal did tshuva. Reuven did tshuva. And let me give you one more, source 6, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, B'nei Korach lo metu. The children of Korach never really died. Tana, we are taught in a braita, Mishum Rabbeinu, the name of their teacher. Makom nitvatzeh lahem b'gehenem. There was a place that was fortified, chiseled out for them in Gehenem. V'yashvu alav amru shira. They did tshuva, and they sang shira. They sang songs. V'nei korach did tshuva. Source number 7, the Akash Shimoni gives us a longer version. Ma zechus yeh b'yadan shal b'nei korach shinatzlu. Why were b'nei korach saved? Shebishash hayu yoshvin etzel korach avihem. Ro'in et Moshe v'kovshet b'nei b'karka. They were in the rebellion of Korach, sitting next to their father, rebelling against Moshe Rabbeinu. And along walks Moshe Rabbeinu. and they are hiding their faces in the ground. They don't know what to do. Amru, im namor b'fnei Moshe Rabbeinu, nohagim b'zayon b'avinu. If we stand up for Moshe, well, then we're going to shame our father, our poor father who's sitting here yelling at Moshe. We're going to embarrass him. And didn't the Torah tell us you have to honor your father? So how could we stand up for Moshe? But if we don't stand for Moshe, but the Torah also tells me I got to stand up for someone who's elderly, someone who's important. So what do we do? Do I stand for Moshe? Or do I stick with my dad? In the last moment they decided we'll stand up for Moshe even though it'll embarrass our father. And in that moment the sons of Korach do tshuva. Rav Yehuda HaNasi Omer Kemin Amud Nitzvaser Lohem Vepekhanim Vamud Alav Vayu Kol Yisrael Ruin Otam. This is quoting from the Gemara. In that last moment, we fortified a piece of Gehenim for them. Everyone's watching. Uba'otasha Patchu Pihem Vamru Shira. They open their mouth and they sing praise and they do. So my immediate reaction here is, what's going on? If I look through the Pesukim, I don't see any of these guys doing tshuva. Why does Chazal choose these three characters to be role models of tshuva for us? But let me add, these are never the people I would have picked. Evil Yishma, who gets kicked out of Avram's house. Reuven, the rejected Bechor, who loses his elder status to Yosef. And the children of Korach, the man who leads one of the biggest rebellions against Moshe Rabbeinu. Why am I picking these people to be role models of tshuva? So we all know whenever Chazal fills in a story and tells us something that we don't see in the text, it's for one of two reasons and maybe often both. Either they are trying to solve a textual issue or they're trying to solve a hashkafic issue. And I think in these cases it's both. There's something bothering Chazal within the text itself that this story of saying these people do tshuva fills in that blank. But it's still not going to answer for me the bigger question of why do we choose these, and we'll come back to that at the end. So let's look what the textual issues are. When it comes to Yishmael, starting at source number 8, the pasuk writes, "Vayigva vayamat Avraham b'seva tova zaken v'saveya v'yasaf alamav." Avraham dies in his good old age, satisfied, old, he dies and is gathered to his people. This language of seva tova and saveya, satisfied, happy, he dies in a good place, is an issue for Chazal. Could you die in a good place if you knew one of your sons was a sinner who never returned to God? Could you? But more than that, why point this out about Abraham? Lots of people die in the text. Very few people get this language. What is it coming to teach me that I have these added words? I doesn't just say he dies. He dies satisfied. He dies happy. He dies complete. What are you coming to add? Second issue in the text, next pasuk. Ve'ikberu oto Yitzchak v'Yishmael banav. It tells us specifically that Yitzchak and Yishmael get together to bury their father. Comes along Chazal and says, wait a second. If he's kicked out of the home, if he's a rejected son, what's he doing burying his father? Comes Chazal, source number 9, Bereishis Rabbah. Ve'ikberu oto Yitzchak v'Yishmael maraz ha-machpelah. This is a little bit more than that that's being taught to us in the pasuk. Kan ben ha'ama cholik kavod leben ha-gvira. It's not just that Yishmael comes back, but if I look at the pasuk, Yitzchak's name is mentioned before Yishmael. Yishmael is older. His name should be first. Therefore, what we see, says Bereishis Rabbah, says the Chazal, says the Midrash, that Yishmael is recognizing he is the son of the maid, he's the son of Hagar, and Yitzchak is the ben Hagvira, is the son of the mistress. So even though I'm older, I'm going to take a step back, and I'm going to let you lead the show, because you really are the son of Abraham from Sarah. Says Rashi on these words, Mikana sa Yishmael tshuva, these are the words of the text that show me Yishmael did tshuva, v'holichet Yitzchak lefanav, he lets Yitzchak go first, v'useva tova, and that explains my seva tova, how can a father be happy, because his two sons got together at the end, they all made up, everyone's happy, and Yishmael came back in the fold. But let me ask you a question. Where's the tshuva? I'm lost. So Yishmael said, Yitzchak, you could run the show. You could cover all the funeral costs. You can shovel the ground. I'll watch. You lead the prayer service. Where's the tshuva? I'm missing the tshuva. Well, the Rambam told us that tshuva means I come back to the same action that I did the first time, but this time I don't repeat it. And if you look back, therefore, what did Yishmael do wrong that got him thrown out of the house? I actually do see his tshuva. In source number 10, the pasuk tells us, "Vatere Sarat ben Hagar haMitzrit asher yaldala Avraham mitzachek." That's what he does wrong. He's mitzachek. The pshat of that is, he's fooling around, he's joking around, maybe he's teasing a little bit. It's similar to the next pasuk I gave you in Bereishis Yotet. This is when Lot comes to his son-in-laws and says, Sodom is about to be destroyed, we need to run away. And the pasuk says, Vayehi kemitzachek be'enei chatnav. He was a joke. They laughed in his face. They said, you're a crazy old man. And they stayed in Sodom, and they were killed. Comes if you look at source 12 first before 11. Ibn Ezra and Radak to translate this way. What is it that Yishmael did? He laughed and he played. He was a child. Says Ibn Ezra, he came in hakol na. This is what children do. Or Radak, he keilu malig al Yitzchak shen alam iskenav. He made fun of Yitzchak. Ha ha! Dad was so old when he had you. You know, he was much older. You know, he was a whole 100. Me. 89, you know, but 86, sorry, he was young, right? But me, 100, oh, he was so old. But if you look closer at Chazal, source 11, it's a little deeper than that. The Tosafta quotes in the name of Rav Shimon ben Yochai, Ein schok hamor kan el inyan Yerusha. He was laughing at Yitzchak for a very specific thing. It was about inheritance. Shishenolad Avinu Yitzchak Lavram Avinu Hakol HaYusmechin. Everybody's so happy. Yay, Yitzchak is born. Ve'omrim Nolad Ben Lavraham, Nolad Ben Lavraham, Nochelet HaOlam. This child is born. Avram, he's going to inherit the world. Shnei Chalukim, he's going to get two portions too. Now tell Shnei Chalukim. Vaya Yishmael Mesachek B'dato. And Yishmael's laughing in his head. Ve'omer, no way. Ha ha. Ani B'chor. Ve'ani no tell Shnei Chalukim. I'm the oldest. I'm really getting it. Yishmael thought, he's going to trick them all. He's going to take away the Bechor status of Yitzchak because he was born first. The Ramban in source 13 plays it out a little bit more. It was a specific story on the day that Yitzchak was weaned. And she saw Yishmael making fun of Yitzchak. Oh, ala mishteh hagadol, and he was making fun of this big party. Et ben hagar hamitzri. Sarah's real issue here was not what Yishmael was doing right now at this party, but it's what it represented. And if you look back, the Ramban is talking about source number 10. When she says, I see Yishmael mitzachek, she doesn't say Yishmael. She says, Ben Hagar HaMitzri. What she's saying is, Yishmael is reminding me of his mother. His mother, who did not know her place. Look at the pasuk below the Ramban. She lowered Sarah in her eyes. She didn't treat Sarah the same. And here is Sarah, who sees Yishmael laughing, saying, in the future, ha ha, I'm going to get it all, not you. He's treating Yitzchak the same way Hagar treated her. That's why she says, kick them out. And she focuses more on Hagar. Lo amar tishmal mitzachek. She says, garash et ha'ama hazot. It's about her. It's not so much about him. It's about what it represented. And in bold, ha'eved ha'mal'ig al adonav chayav hu lamavet o lahakoto. An eved, a servant who makes fun of their mistress, they deserve death or they deserved to be punished. Sarah saw in Yishmael this potential of making fun of Yitzchak. I'm really the Bechor. I'm really in charge. In the future, everything's being passed down to me, not to you. So what happens now on the day that Avram is being buried? Yishmael takes a step back. It's not that he says, you get the shovel first. It's not that he says, you get to make the speech. It's that he says, I see you are in charge here. I see you are the heir to Avraham. I'm in the same position. I could fight. I could yell. I'm the Bechor. But I'm going to take a step back. Now you may say to me, that's a lot to read into, one word being before the other. So let me show you how it's a little bit clearer. If you look at source 14, yes, it is true. The fact that Yitzchak's name comes before Yishmael, you could argue with me and you could say, well, Yitzchak's more important, that's why his name comes first. But now contrast it with another pasuk. Okay? When Yitzchak dies, the Pasuk writes, Esav v'Yaakov banav, buried him. But when Avram dies, it's Yitzchak v'Yishmael. Unlike Esav, who says, I'm the Bechor, I'm taking over, Yishmael takes a step back. It's the contrast of these psukim that makes me realize it's not the most important who's going first, because then clearly Yaakov's name should have come first. It's who took a bigger role here. Who's taking over? Not only that, source 15, Vayetein Avram et kol asher lo liYitzchak. He gives everything to Yitzchak. And the next pasuk isn't, and Yishmael rallies, and Yishmael fights, and Yishmael says, I'm the Bechor, I get some. No, Yishmael's quiet. And let me give you a third textual proof. Source 16, it's interesting. It happens to be, this is a pasuk that happens a few prakim later, and Esav and Yaakov are already on the scene. And Yaakov is commanded to make sure he takes a wife from within the family, not to marry a Canaanite woman. And all of a sudden, the pasuk says, source 16, Vayar Esav ki ra'ot beno Kanan b'nei Yitzchak aviv. He messed up. He married a Canaanite. Oh no, my father's not happy. So what should I do? I want to fix it. Vayelech Esav el Yishmael. Vayikachas machlat ba Yishmael. He marries the daughter of Yishmael. Let me ask you, how does that fix anything if Yishmael is a rejected son that nobody likes and is evil and is horrible to the day he dies? It only works and only makes sense. Oh, I want to make my dad happy. I want to connect back into the family. I want to show him that I also can choose wisely a wife. So I'm going to marry into Yishmael. It must have been a happy ending to the Yishmael story. But besides the textual issues, I think there's more of a hashkafic issue as well, which is brought up in source 17, where Rav Shimon Bar Yochai's whole explanation is based on Va'ani Omer Chas V'Shalom Shiyev Beitoshal Tzadikahu. How can it be that someone so evil like Yishmael grew up in Avram's house, stays evil, dies evil? How can that be? It just hashkafic doesn't make sense. How can you have such a great role model and this is the son he produces? So it's possible to argue maybe he wasn't so bad, that's a shear of its own, which I do give. Or it's possible to argue, because it fits into this shear, he did tshuva. He changed his ways. He did tshuva at the end, because a tzaddik gave birth to a child who messed up, but learned his lesson to do tshuva. And I think that also explains source 18. Why did God save him? He hears the voice of this boy. It's focused over and over. He heard Yishmael crying. And not only that, he promises him a great nation. Why? Because even somebody who is going to be evil has potential for tshuva, can fix it at the end, and can deserve God's help. And I think in some ways, to start our discussion, Yishmael is such a beautiful role model of tshuva because it teaches us the following. Even Yishmael can do tshuva. Not that Yishmael can do tshuva. Even Yishmael can do tshuva. Let's move to the second one before I run out of time. Reuven. Reuven, I also don't have a pasuk that tells me Reuven does tshuva. The assumption here is that Reuven, in his sin, by Ishkavitz Bilha, who slept with Bilha, did tshuva at some point in time. And the question is, where do I get this from? Source 19. The pasuk tells us the brothers were sitting and eating. They had just thrown Yosef into the pit. It was Reuven's idea. Reuven says, Laman hitzilo tami adam, in his head, I'm going to save him. I'm going to save him at the end. The brothers are sitting to eat. And then Vayeshev Reuven al bor comes back to the pit. Yosef's gone. And you want to scream at Reuven. Where'd you go? Really, Reuven? Where did you go? This is like the most important moment. Yosef's in a pit. You want to save him. You went on a walk. Like, where'd you go? You had to clear your head. Where are you? Says Chazal, in this moment, he was doing tshuva. Rashi quotes it. What's Chazal doing? Saying, the last thing I know about Reuven is that Vayishkavet Bila, he messed up. And this story seems to disappear. Let me put the two together. But it's further than that. If you think about it, on Yom Kippur, what is on any fast day, what is one of the hardest things to do on that day? Feed your children, right? Watch other people eat. Because then you get really hungry. You smell it. So says Chazal, why specifically does he disappear Vayishvu lechol lechem when they're eating? Because he's fasting. So he's like, I can't stay near you when you're fasting. I'll get hungry. I want to eat. So we take a little walk. And then he comes back. Rabbi Aaron ben Harambam even adds on to here, Lefish hayam min hagoli pray behem all the time. This wasn't a one-time thing. Anytime the brother sat down to eat, he left to do tshuva. Reuven all the time did tshuva. But it has to be more than just vayashav. It's like tshuva. It can't just be that. It's got to be more than that and the fact that he disappears. Says Chazal. One of the reasons we assume that he does tshuva is because in source 21, which I had mentioned earlier, Hosea, the prophet, teaches us to do tshuva. Well, where does Hosea, who is Hosea? We know about, if you look at source 21, he's Hosea ben Be'eri, and I know from Divrei Hayamim that Be'era is the Nasi of Reuven. Yeah, that's terrible. Hosea is the descendant of Reuven. And therefore, says Chazal and Bereishis Rabbah, you did tshuva, so therefore in the future, your descendant is going to teach tshuva. Why did you deserve that? It must be you did something to deserve a descendant like that. Not only that, a hashkafic issue, and move faster because they just told me 10 minutes, which is crazy. Source 22, after he sins with Bilha, it says, Vayu b'nei Yaakov, Shemasar, b'nei Yaakov were 12. Well, I'm sorry, if you're Vayishkav at your father's wife, you sleep with your father's wife, you get to stay as part of the tribes. Not only that, I gave you a pasuk in Devarim, I believe, or no, you don't have it, where he's standing on Har Evel, and they say, Arur Shechem Meshed Aviv, it's cursed Aviv who sleep with their father's wife, and Reuven is standing there going, Amen. Such a horrible, horrible thing. And he's still B'nei Yaakov Shnei Masar. He's part of the tribes. So either he didn't really do what the pasuk says, or he did shoot. And Reuven is teaching us, no matter how bad things are, no matter how horrible the sin is you do, you can do shoot. Third one, really fast. Source 24, we have a pasuk about Korach. And we all know this pasuk, so I don't have to read it. Which is, I'm sorry, source 23, the ground opens up. And when the ground opens up to kill Korach and everything, it says, Vet batehem, vet kol ha'adam, asher l'Korach, all the people that are to Korach, v'chol rechosh, swallowed in the ground. So it sounds like, B'nei Korach did not do tshuva, they're in the ground. However, source 24, hidden away in a pasuk you may not have ever found. In Bamidbar Chavav, we're counting the Jewish people, and it tells us, Ubnei Korach lo metu. You're like, huh? They didn't die? What? It's in the pasuk. I didn't make that up. In the pasuk. So now I got a problem. You said they died, and now you said they didn't die. So Pshat, very simply, source 25, Bechor Shor says, no big deal. The pasuk implied the Abadim and the Shvachot, the servants, were swallowed up, not the sons. They weren't part of it at all. Or Chizkuni, who says it was the wives, the young children, and the servants, but not the older sons of Korach. But if I look to Chazal, which I then quoted you again in source 26 in Rashi, yes, they were part of the Korach rebellion, but then last second, they did this tshuva, b'shas ha-machloket here, herb tshuva b'livam, and then they got swallowed, kinda, but they didn't die. They didn't die, they did tshuva in that last second. The Nitziv and the Emek Davar, and again, when there is more time, he should read it inside, draws out this beautiful imagery, which is as follows. The sons of Korach were in the rebellion of Korach. They were all the way. Korach, they thought, had this very L'shem Shamayim argument. All the people are holy, all the people are good. They were in it. But then came along Datan Aviram. And Datan Aviram viciously attacked Moshe Rabbeinu. And all of a sudden, B'nai Korach went, wait a second. Moshe Rabbeinu is our rabbi. What are you doing? This has nothing to do with Moshe Rabbeinu. This has to do with all the people are holy and everybody should be leaders. It's nothing to do with Moshe and Moshe's inability to take us in. And in that moment, when the argument flipped and Datan Aviram viciously attacked Moshe, they pull out and they do tshuva. But where does it come from, besides that we hear that they didn't die? And I think there's a number of things that we can look at. I'm going to skip 27 for time purposes. But if you look at source 28, we have so many times in Tehillim that we have a mizmor that's Livnei Korach. Clearly, if B'nei Korach, as Ebenezer says, are singing Shira and singing Tehillim, they are first of all alive, but they're also righteous. Something good came out of Korach. Something good came out of the sons of Korach. Not only that, we know that Shmuel comes from Korach. As I gave you in source 29 in Divrei Hayamim, a line that goes from Kahas to Korach to Elkanah to Shmuel. Shmuel is from Korach. Says Ebenezer beautifully, how do I know B'nai Korach to Tshuva? Because that's how they merited to have Shmuel and to have people who sing Tehillim, Mishorim of Tehillim. But I add on here, and I'll come back to it, hopefully I have time, that the Haftorah for Parshas Korach is Shmuel, I think very much on purpose, as that is his descendant. But here's a piece that I just want to add quickly of Rashi, source 30. How is it, Rashi asked, that Korach messed up? He's a smart guy. What's your problem, Korach? How'd you mess up? And says Rashi, he knew in the future he was going to have Shmuel HaNavi. He knew he was going to have all these righteous people come from him. So he said, I must be right. I must be the one that God's going to save. But what did he not realize? his sons in that last second were going to do tshuva. But I still have a question. I see textually, I see hashkafically why we may want to argue these three do tshuva. But why are they my role models of tshuva? What do they represent to me? And I think what they represent to me is something very interesting. If I look at them, and who are these people? Yishmael, I would say, represents somebody very evil. I think the sons of Korach represent children of a family that's an evil influence, and really in a much more neutral type character. You see, when I want to understand how do I do tshuva, tshuva is lo b'shamayim hi. If I focus on David HaMelech doing tshuva, or Moshe doing tshuva, then it's b'shamayim hi. Right? Moshe could do it because he's Moshe. David could do it because he's David. But when I say Yishmael could do it, hey, I could do it. And not only that, they represent different models of tshuva. Yishmael seemed at some point in his life made a flip. Flipped and changed his tone. The sons of Korach, it was the last second of their lives. And Reuven, according to Chazal, it was the whole time from the sin and on. He just felt bad. They represent for us different models of tshuva. You can do tshuva in an instant. You could do tshuva over a long period of time. Or you could do tshuva at any point when you realize I've messed up and I got to change my ways. But I want to add another layer where I think it makes it even stronger. You see, all three of them have something in common. All three of them are rejected in some sort of way. Yishmael is kicked out of the home of Abraham, source 31. Garashatama Zovet Benah, he's thrown out. Reuven loses the status of his Bechorah. If you look at source 32, Divrei Yamim says, Ki yo Bechor, ubechal Yisrei Aviv, natzna Bechor tel b'nei Yosef. He was the Bechor, but the status is given to Yosef because of his sin. An interesting source 33, where we hear B'nei Korach lo metu, some of you may not have even known that pasuk existed, because it's where you would never have found it. It's listed amongst, look at the beginning of the psukim I gave you in source 33, amongst the counting of the children of Reuven. It's like they're thrown out of Levi. You're not even allowed to be in the Levi department. You're in Reuven for now. You're in detention. You know what I mean? We'll stick you in, but we're going to hide that you kind of exist amongst your own family, amongst your own tribe. But what's interesting, they're all rejected, right? They are. But they all pick themselves up, and they make something new of themselves. Yishmael creates a new nation. Source 34, we hear all of his children, and it ends, Vayasaf el amav. He's gathered, he dies to his nation. He creates a nation. Reuven, he doesn't give up. He doesn't run away. He becomes one of the tribes of Israel. He leads a degel. He helps out Reuven and Yosef, who are our leading tribes. He even makes for himself a little place on the other side of the Yarden. Reuven stays as part of our nation, stays part of one of the 12 tribes, doesn't run away. And the children of Korach, you could see them leaving. I'm embarrassed. My father, look what my father did. But they stay strong. Shmuel comes from them. People who sing Tehillim come from them. They stay part of the Jewish nation. And I think that's an interesting point about tshuva. Tshuva doesn't reset the clock. Tshuva doesn't make you go back where you started. Tshuva just allows you to move forward. What's my next step? I got to live with what I did. I still have consequences for what I did. I can't take it away. It doesn't make me not the person who did that action. But it makes me center myself and say, all right, how do I move forward and fix this for the future? But I think it's more than that, if they'll allow me these few more minutes. You see, for two of them, Reuven and the sons of Korach, their descendants actually complete the tshuva process. They don't just, in the future, become great, but they actually reflect back at the original sin, and they finish the tshuva. It's amazing. If you look at Reuven's descendant, Hoshea, the first thing that we learn about Hoshea, which is in source 36, is all about this act of sexuality that he has to do. And it's no question it reminds us of source 35, which is Reuven's sin, Vayelech Reuven Veishkavetz Bilha Pilegesh Aviv, whatever that means, something sexual and something bad is going on in this pasuk. And Hoshea is commanded to take a woman that is an Eshet Zunim, take a prostitute, marry her, have children with her, use her to teach a lesson of the Jewish people about cheating on God, because she then will cheat on him. And later in Hoshea, he's told to love another woman. The prophecies of Hoshea are sexual in nature, some ways to teach us the lesson that comes out of it. It's taking the sin that Reuven did and twisting it to get positive. Or not only that source 37, a medrash I looked at before, but what God really says here in this midrash to Reuven is, you did tshuva? Me'olam rabodit lo chata adam lifnei v'asat tshuva. You, Reuven, you're the first person to ever do tshuva. At patachat b'tshuva tchila, you're the first guy. Chayecha, I swear, shebebincha omed v'poteach b'tshuva. I swear in the future, your descendant is going to teach tshuva. Is going to be someone who lets us all do tshuva. And that's Hosea that we read yesterday in the Haftorah, Hosea teaching us tshuva. He completes Reuven's cycle. He does something similar to his sin in a positive way and takes that action of tshuva of Reuven and continues to teach it to us. But the Shmuel Korach one, I think, is amazing. Because what is the issue of Korach? Korach is arguing against the leadership of Moshe. He's saying the people should choose the leader, not God, not Moshe. I'm arguing against the standard way of leadership. Comes Shmuel in the Haftorah that we read to Parshas Korach, and they ask Shmuel for a king. And Shmuel gets mad, and they're saying the same thing. Give us a king like all the people. We want to be like the people. It's so similar. And Shmuel loses it. 3 times. I mean, he loses it. And when he loses it, what's so interesting, I have a chart here for you. It's so similar and so parallel to the Korach rebellion. But this time, he's not like Korach. He's like Moshe. The descendant of Korach takes Moshe's side and fixes the Korach rebellion. If you look at the Pesukim, you'll look at the Pesukim, I'm just going to read the other side where I'm telling you how they're the same. The people gather against the leader. They gather against Moshe and Shmuel. They're mad. They scream. We don't like the leadership that's being chosen. Both of them immediately, Vayikalel Hashem Davin, both of them then claim the following claim, Lo chamor echad mehem nasati, I didn't take anything from you, or at shor milakachti, did I ever take anything from you? I'm the type of leader, kings take stuff, right? I'm good, we were good leaders, what's your problem? But they're upset. And therefore they warn the Jewish people, both of them, same language, Hitzyatzavu Re'u, or Teidun, you'll see right now that God thinks you're wrong and I'm right. And then a miracle is performed. Moshe, the earth opens up and people are swallowed, a fire from the sky. Shmuel, in that moment, rain starts falling from the sky. In that moment, to teach them, you're asking for the wrong thing. The end result for both, Vayira Kala'am, or Vayiru Kala'am, depending on which pasuk, they all get terrified, they all get scared, and they cry out. Shmuel's language here is the exact opposite of what's going on in the Korach rebellion. He's taking Moshe's side. He even says it. Source 39, when he's yelling at them, he says, who's the ideal leader? Vayishlach Hashem, it's Moshe v'et Aaron. What you are arguing about in Parshas Korach, I'm telling you here, the ideal leadership is not just Moshe, but it's Moshe and Aaron, everything you were fighting in Parshas Korach. Shmuel turns around the sin of Korach. He completes the tshuva of Bnei Korach. And I think when we end this, we get it. I get why Chazal takes 3 characters that I never would have thought of that did tshuva, finds reason in the text to say it, and says, walk away with these role models of tshuva. Because when I look at Yishmael, Reuven, and the sons of Korach, they teach me that anybody can do tshuva. They can do tshuva, I can do tshuva. It doesn't matter who you are, doesn't matter what you've done, doesn't matter who your family is and how bad they have done and whatever they've done, it doesn't matter. They teach us, Reuven, Yishmael, and the sons of Korach are remembered by Chazal as role models of tshuva to teach us that lo b'shamayim hi, we can do it. And in the words of Hosea, the descendant of Reuven, we learn out, Shuva Yisrael Hashem Elokecha. We should have a year where we should all be successful in our tshuva and be forgiven. It should be a good year for Am Yisrael. Thank you very much.